You're listening to Inside iOS Dev, show about real-world iOS development. Today with you, your hosts, Alex Bush.
And Andrew Brown.
And a couple of bottles of beer.
Yep.
Yeah, this is this episode is, it's our anniversary episode. So guys, if you're here for some tech talk, tech topics, new knowledge, ain't gonna have that.
No.
Nope.
This is just a look back on... Yeah, 1 year anniversary, looking back on what how it's gone, what we've learned, what it's been like. And I guess if you can get to know us better as personalities, because the episodes are, you know, we'd like to stick straight to the, get to the juicy stuff, get to the knowledge, so you guys can learn. So, you know, you guys really don't get to know us much. So, yeah, like Alex said, if you're here to learn some iOS API or learn some clean architecture.
Nope.
Nah. No, well, we might talk about some of the stuff, but I think this episode we're just going to look back on, come and reminisce.
Yeah, it's mostly the, you know, the stuff we don't have. The sport talks about sports.
Yeah, the sports, you know, section talk.
What we've done last week.
Well, so yeah, stuff let's explain that. So this podcast started, well, for several reasons, but one large reason was we were unhappy with the podcast iOS development podcast selection out there, because I remember me and you talked, and I remember listening to one podcast, iOS podcast, that is like
pretty, it was prominent.
Yeah, it wasn't like super, super famous, but you know, it had a name.
Yeah.
Some people might recognize it. I remember listening. The title was, I don't know, let's say the title was like Learning Auto Layout, 30-minute episode. I remember listening to it and like, 15 minutes into it, they had not talked about it. And they also didn't talk about iOS stuff. They literally just talked about like how their week was going and like
what they've done at work and who had what ping pong table game or whatnot. That, like, oh man.
And yeah. And so we've also both had interest in creating content. I mean, I've always had interest in creating video or audio or just any sort of creative content. And I guess we had a conversation and it just kicked off and we're like, well, let's just make a podcast where we get straight to the point on topics and deliver information to people where they can learn from us. And that's kind of generally how it started. That was like what we were aiming for. So...
Yeah, pretty much, and we gave it a shot. It was a very bootstrap setup at our company, right?
Vanilla.
At Vanilla, yeah, where we worked there at the time together.
So we went into an empty office room. We went in there, and we were just like, let's just do this, because I know you, in particular, just like to dive into this.
Oh, yeah. You just I think throw I'm puppy in the water.
I'm more of the perfectionist.
See if the puppy gets out.
And so we had nothing really prepared, and we flipped over a trash can and put the office, like... what is it, like the conference speaker or whatever? So it's like not for podcasting at all.
Right.
That's why if you listen to the very beginning episodes, it's like we sound like we're really far in the distance or like just sounds like we're, I don't know, just not good audio quality.
Oh, yeah, because we use those speakers for, we had some people working remotely, right? And they would just get on stand-ups.
Yeah.
They'll get on that screen and that speaker would be closer to the whole
team. So, like, is good for that kind of thing, like conference calls, because it's an omnidirectional speaker. But, like, when you're doing a podcast, it sounds terrible because you can hear, if you listen to the first podcast, you, like, hear people, like, talking in the background and, like, going through, like closing and opening doors and stuff. And that's like when we very first started. We also actually uploaded a few of them to YouTube, and you can see the office we were in.
Yeah, with all the toys and everything.
Yeah.
It was, you know, that was our humble beginning. We're kind of came a long way from that.
Still got a ways to go.
Well, still got a ways to go. I mean, now we got the gear, like we sound better.
Right. I hope. No, we do sound better. But we were actually just talking about upgrading our gear because we've been doing this for a year.
Right.
Because we're both the same where, like, we don't want to be the gear guy. Like, you know, the gear guy is like, I'm going to take up surfing, and then buys like the most expensive surfboard and has like the expensive jumpsuit, and then they, or whatever, I don't know what they wear in jumpsuit. I've never surfed. Whatever they wear, the surf suit. And then they surf for like a month.
And then they...
Yeah, and then they stop. And then all, but they'll keep the surfboard on the top of their car so they have the image, you know, at least. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the surfboard guy or the gear guy. And I feel like we're similar that way. So yeah, we've slowly upgraded our gear as we've seen, like, oh, we've done this. So I think we're due for some better gear.
Yeah, and we keep talking about doing videos. That's something... Yeah. We're still figuring it out. It would be great, but then I don't know. We need to figure out a format for that. Essentially, yeah, I guess the space mostly, because we can be recording them on some toys or something like we've done in the beginning, right?
Right.
And it's also more challenging, I feel like, to me at least. You can't look puff dead, and sometimes we are, like, we do it after work, right? It's like you don't see us, maybe in the voice it doesn't really
no this is the thing. So yeah, because in the beginning, we, like I said, we uploaded them to YouTube. We would record them on video, and of course video also has audio, so we would I would edit them to also the video, and then also export it for audio, and then do the podcast as well. So we would do both on YouTube and in podcast form. And on video, if you watched it, you would see us like, or maybe it's like one of those things where you know that you messed up or something, so you judge it more. But you would see like us like stumble and like not know what to say or something, and just be unsure. But on audio, it hides it.
Yep.
So it's easier, which is nice. And also, we edit these. So.
Yeah. FYI, guys. I'm sorry. We're sorry to disappoint you. Yeah. We don't edit heavily.
No, we did in the beginning.
Oh, actually, yes.
In the beginning, we edited heavily. It took forever. Because
we sucked, right? Like, we would just meander or something.
Yeah. We didn't know. We were just getting started. I still feel like we're learning, but it was pretty bad in the beginning.
Yeah. But yeah, these days, it's like, what? Like, for a 15-minute recording, we would like record 18, 20 maybe, right?
No. Maybe like, less. It's like, let's say it comes out 20-minute episode. I would say we edit out 2 minutes.
Okay.
But in the beginning, if it was a 20-minute episode, we would edit out like 5, maybe even 10 minutes. Like, whole swaths of conversations.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's gotten way better, which is good.
So Andrew, what have you learned through this whole... It's been a year, right? Through this whole process of, I guess, putting together, coming up with topics, putting together an outline, right? That's our process. We, like, come up with topics. We have a running backlog in Trello. Then we pick a topic when we get together and we put an outline.
Right.
And then we just hit record, right, and go
right.
Sort of through like a bullet list.
Yeah, we don't read from...
But we don't read.
Yeah, no, we don't read. We basically create a bullet list, like you said, and it's just, here are some of the points that we want to hit, and then it'll remind us. That way, there's basically, it just gives a structure, really.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to bounce around randomly. But, yeah.
So what'd you learn from that?
Like, from
this whole process and doing that for quite so long, actually.
I learned that it's actually really fun. One, I really enjoy it. Another thing is I learn a lot. So what happens is when you're speaking publicly or when you're publicly sharing things, you want to make sure you're correct and not wrong.
Yep.
So you double check yourself. And then in the process of preparing for these episodes, so then you're learning because you don't want to sound like an idiot. See what happens?
So I just hit the table, right? And I don't know if you guys heard
it's still, it. It's still not the greatest setup here. But anyways.
Yeah, you were saying public speaking.
Yeah. What am I talking
about?
No, what did I learn?
Oh, yeah. What did you learn?
Yeah. It's fun. I learned how to edit because I'm the one who edits the episodes which I've enjoyed because I've always wanted to, like I said, work on like creative things like this. And also just learning about building an audience, learning about trying to be, you know, share things in an interesting, meaningful way that people actually want to listen to. I learned that doing something on your own, right? Not having, you know, your boss doing something because your boss, this is our own thing, right? We're doing this on our own, of our own. It's our own creative energy that this comes out of. I feel like I learned a lot. There's so much I've learned from this. It's not just like the narrow side of podcasting, right? There's a lot that goes into it. There's the editing. There's the preparing for the episodes. There's the trying to grow an audience. There's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, that's interesting. For me, the things I learned I think the big ones were how to structure your thoughts. And I already knew how to do that, right? I would write blog posts before that. And I published my book before we started podcasting. But somehow this specific outlet, somehow it forced me to make everything I say and all the bullet points I want to hit way more concise and way more to the point. It's interesting. Before I've done this, I never thought about that this way, right?
Yeah.
You always kind of, say you write a blog post, right? You always have this wiggle room, right? And you can stretch it a little if necessary.
Right.
But here, no. Like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, we gotta make it, or we cut it.
Right.
And another thing I learned, which is, I'm still processing that and kind of, thinking about it. And the way to phrase it too and formulate that. But essentially, the importance of when you're doing it with someone, well, like in this case with you, Andrew, the importance of connecting and clicking, right? The this creative work, it gotta click. You can't just, it's difficult to explain, but you cannot do it with anyone, right? Just this a knowledgeable dynamic, person. Yeah. It's like you need to complement in some ways each other. And that way it flows naturally, if you will.
Okay, so I like the dynamic thing you just brought up. I want to talk about that. So one thing was the dynamic that we thought was interesting, that part of the reason why we wanted to do this was, so when I started, it was about a year that I was at Wanilo.
Right,
so I had been working professionally as an iOS developer. I had done internships and I had done projects, but I guess it's like truly like professional iOS developer. I had only been doing it 1 year. So, and you had been doing it at that point
for like 6, 7, something like that.
Something like that. So obviously you had more experience. And then also you've worked on other platforms. You've done like Ruby and Android development, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So part of it was like, we were like, well, that's maybe part of what we can offer is that I'm coming into here as a newbie and I don't have a lot of assumptions in terms of, you know, the curse of knowledge is what it's called, where you learn things and then you forget what it's like not to know those things. You take it for granted, right? So that was another, that was a very intentional thing of starting this podcast, was like, well, so there's two, I guess there's two ways you can interpret it. Is one, you're inexperienced, so who are you to talk, which I still feel that way. And then, but the other way is like, well, you're inexperienced, so you have that beginner's mind and you haven't really taken on that curse of knowledge. So you're able to convey information to people or not take for granted things that people might know and speak more plainly in ways that they understand. And I feel like that's resonated with people, because we did send out those forms because we wanted to see what exactly people like about what we're doing or don't like so we can improve. And the feedback we got on a few people were like, oh, we understand, like you just speak clearly, or you just like, you explain things in a way
I understand, gets the point basically across. Yeah,
but simultaneously we also get feedback saying, oh, you guys talk about advanced topics, like we'll talk about architecture or design patterns or things like that, right? That, so I think the dynamic works out, right? Where we're right. we're not afraid to explore these more advanced topics, but at the same time, we can still dumb it down because, well, sometimes I need things dumbed down for me. So it works out. And that was always like, I always felt like that was part of my role. It's like, I'm the advocate for the, I play like the guy who doesn't know what's going on, basically. like sometimes I just have to be like, not afraid to be like, I don't know what that is. Can you explain that to me? Because, you know, when you're a developer, part of being a developer is, I think, there's a pressure to appear smart and appear competent.
Right.
But I want to be an advocate for those people. If I don't understand something, then I'm thinking, well, probably other people don't. So I'm just going to go ahead and say, you know, screw it. I'm just going to take a, you know, risk here to look dumb and ask what that means or ask to break things down. And I think that's why the dynamic mm-hmm, works, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, that makes sense. I would also, you know, give yourself a little bit more credit. Yeah. I'll try to clarify specifically what and why. Basically, people don't know me, but I have a very, very, very high bar on, how should I put it? Quality of developers I work with, right. if you will, right? And by quality, I mean not raw knowledge per se, but
maybe the capacity.
Capacity and even, I want to say, intuition of what's good and what's bad.
Intuition.
Right? Yeah. And that's what you got plenty of. That's why I was so blown away when I met you, even though, as you said, at the time you had like, what, 1 year of experience right. coding in general, or professionally specifically, right? Right,
professionally.
But I thought to myself, oh my fucking God, this guy, huh? I wish I was like that when I was starting.
Right.
Because we would pair program, right?
Right.
And I'd be like, man, this guy, yeah, sure, might not have the knowledge, but he got that freaking intuition that I got only like 3 years in, maybe, or four.
Right. Interesting.
And that kind of manifests itself in these recordings too, kind of same way, right? It continues there. We do research and bounce ideas of each other. I mean, you keep saying that, oh, like I have less experience or something. I don't feel that. Maybe less knowledge in the sense of right. you, roughly speaking, read less and seen less code.
Yeah.
But if not that, equal, right? You get what's where I'm going with all of this stuff, right? You get where I'm aiming at.
Yeah, intuition. So
yeah.
Is a developer made or are they born?
Right. Ooh.
What do you think, Alex? Or somewhere in between or what?
Probably somewhere in between. I mean, you need to have a certain type of personality, right?
The old nature versus nurture question.
Yeah, right? Oh,
careful.
Man.
You're going to upset someone no matter which way you answer.
Those tough questions, right?
No, it's like it's in between, right? Like some people have natural... I can't dance for shit. Like I'm a terrible dancer. Like when I've tried to... And I've taken dance classes because I know it's something I'm terrible at and I'm it's that like way where...
Weakness improve it?
Yeah. Mm. And yes, I want to improve the weakness, but also I feel like it's healthy to do things that you're not good at because it humbles you.
Oh, I see.
And I'm just not a good dancer. Like my body, just like I look at people and I just like, I can't do it. Right. And so I think like if I practice day in and day out for like 3 years, would I eventually be a good dancer? Sure. Would I be like the greatest dancer ever? I don't think so. Right. Because I just don't think it's not something that's in me. So, you know, there's probably something to that with programming. Just, you know, for whatever reason, someone has some intuition in terms of they can, you know, think they just pick up on intuitions on things, and then they can get better through also, you know, practicing, right? So,
yeah.
But there's just so many different types. I mean, there's you can be a great musician, you can be a great artist, you can be a great physicist, you can be a great teacher. And I just feel like it's a mix, right? You just got to find something that you it clicks with you in terms of you just have you it clicks with you where you have some ability where you're like, okay, I'm kind of good at this. People tell me I'm good. And then the other thing is, obviously, you want to do it. You got to like
right,
it.
Right, right.
And then, well, I guess that's kind of the main pieces. And then, well, I guess the last piece is then just practice. Just work at it. Get better.
Right. I see that. I agree to a degree. At the same time, a thought I've been having lately more and more, there's also a question of reading about stuff and, you know, wanting to read about stuff and educate yourself.
Mm.
That's a huge one. And to me, that's the most detrimental for a dev.
Mm.
If you don't want to learn from the best, and specifically, in my opinion, from the books, because those are the pieces of knowledge work, right? That body of work that people put effort in, there is something to them, right? When, you know, an article would not do the same thing to you.
A blog post is not going to do the same. Oh, yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Oh, so actually, you know what? One thing that I think gave me a big advantage is I'm willing to read.
Exactly, and that was one of those things.
So,
it's like, damn, that guy does the right thing.
So this is one thing that I've honestly, I see people who I think, honestly, I'm like, these people are more naturally intelligent. Now, I don't know if that's just me being insecure. Maybe it is, but I see people who are like, I'm like, this person's very naturally intelligent, but they don't put in the work in terms of reading the books or like doing the like doing the podcast or whatever the extra credit is. And so I feel like, man, I'm just a voracious learner in general. I love challenging myself intellectually. And so with programming, it's great because you can basically never run out of things to do, right? You can't know everything there is to know about in programming. It's pretty much impossible. So I feel like that's one thing that gave me a big advantage is I would, especially at Wanilo, people would be like, oh, read this book. We really like it. Like San Nimes, right, the Pooter book, one of my favorite books.
Mm-hmm.
Principles of Object-Oriented Design in Ruby by San Nimes. Such a great book. I find myself when I'm writing code or when I'm explaining code to someone or whatever, I'm basically plagiarizing her thoughts.
Right, right, yeah.
To the point where, like, sometimes I'm like, is this an original thought of my own or am I just basically, it's an amalgamation of the plagiarization of, like, all the authors that I've read from.
Exactly.
And to be honest, I really feel like I haven't read that many books. Like, what, Clean Code, Clean Architecture, Pooter, Art of Unit Testing.
Refactoring, Martin Fowler.
Yeah, Refactoring, Domain Driven Design, although I only read about half of it because I felt like I wasn't ready for it. And, like, you know, a lot of blog posts, a lot of YouTube videos. So, well, maybe it is a lot. But, yeah.
But still, right?
Those things I feel like gave me huge advantages, and sometimes I feel like, sometimes I get from people, actually I do hear like what you said where I don't have that much experience but I don't give myself credit, where people say like, oh, you actually know a lot.
Yeah.
And I just am like, I just read the books.
I know, right? Like, it's just out there.
It's there. Like, yeah. The difference is, there's no difference between me and you other than I just decided to read the book.
Precisely. I was about to say that, like, all of that, like, any kind of other shortcomings that you might have, such as, like, what you said, intelligence, maybe someone's more intelligent than you and I, but God damn it, you can, you can supplement with reading and basically surpassive in them, right? It's like, damn, why wouldn't you do that?
Right.
And that's what frustrates me a lot, actually. In my experience, developers I meet very rarely read a lot about their freaking profession.
It's odd because I've found that I've been a little surprised on how little people read and like concepts that I take for granted. For example, like Solid.
Right.
From Uncle Bob, which is like very, you know, pretty well known. Like, some people haven't even heard of it, and they've been programming for a few years, or they might have heard of it in passing, but they couldn't like really explain it to you. Things like that, where I'm like, oh, that seems pretty basic, at least in my mind. And if you learn those things, they give you big advantage in terms of knowledge. So
yeah,
it's interesting. Because in general, I think programmers are pretty smart people because it's a basically the job is, you know, it's cognitively.
Yeah,
your work is done through cognitive work, essentially. Like you're using your brain to create these things, right? It's not like a manual labor job. You're using your brain. And it's interesting. I would think that there would be reading more. Maybe I'm being too pessimistic, but I found that I've been surprised at points where I'm like, oh, these people haven't heard this concept or read this well-known book or whatever.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know how about you, but in my experience, it's getting to the point, it kind of feeds back into the podcast, but it's getting to the point where it's so hard to work with some people, right? You have to explain so much sometimes, right? That those things, those concepts that are, well, out there and you would sort of assume people would read.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes I even like refer to our episodes. Like the Singleton episode. I can't keep explaining this. Right, and that's why we've sort of done this episode, right? So it's right there, concise, and we can refer to it.
It's like, honestly, partly the podcast is selfish because I honestly sometimes listen back to an episode. I'm like, oh, I want to refresh this knowledge,
right,
or like I forgot this thing. It's useful. Yeah.
So yeah, what else? What else is there? Sports?
Sports. We both don't like sports.
We don't like sports. Ugh.
Works out. Man, I feel like there's so much. Why are we blinking?
I don't know. By the way, guys, this is the shit we cut out.
Yeah. Let's do this unedited.
Yeah, you don't hear that.
Because I want them to hear like all the like banging, like
I know,
on
right?
The table and like burping or whatever. Whatever we're doing, like awkward pauses.
Check 1, 2.
All right,
guys. So. We had to, it wasn't editing per se, but we stopped. There was like weird music happening.
It was like electrical interference and some like pop music was getting picked up on the, anyways.
Yeah, so Andrew got a new apartment, right? And we're kind of getting used to that stuff. We're recording here. I don't know. Whatever that was.
So what'd you want to say?
Oh yeah, I was going to say I'm going to be giving a talk soon. In 2 weeks from the day we record.
Right.
And it's going to be in Boston, Swift Fest. I'm going to be talking about iOS interviews.
Wow.
How to prep for them. So, yeah, guys. I mean, that's a bit too late to announce, I guess.
Yeah, it's too late. By the time this episode goes out, it's going to be like 2 weeks past.
Yeah. But I believe they're going to record that, I think, hopefully. Maybe it's
typically they do.
Gonna
I feel
be
like
on
these
YouTube.
Days,
yeah.
All these conferences have been recording it. Or you can get Alex's book, iOS Interview Guide, at iosinterviewguide.com.
Oh, yeah.
$500, $600? Is that how much? Oh,
no, guys. It's way cheaper than that.
Wait. You're telling me I can read a book that will help me get a job, potentially get like $30,000, $50,000 pay raise, and it's.
Yeah,
how much is
it? It's $39, guys.
$39?
Yeah. You know?
What?
Just dude, consider the value.
You need to charge more.
Well, you know,
you need to charge
being humble
more.
And all.
You need to, don't cut yourself short, man.
Oh yeah, right.
I was thinking like 500 conservatively. Wow.
No, guys, I'm that generous. you would think I would not be that soft, but
we're squeezing in an advertisement.
Of course, but yeah, I mean, sort of. I guess that's what I'm gonna be talking about in the talk. At the conference, but yeah, you can also get the book.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, yeah, we wanted to do something. We wanted to go through listeners' questions.
Yeah.
Let's see what we have.
People want us to start answering, doing listener questions.
Yes, that was...
We got to do a Q&A episode.
One of the feedbacks, and yeah, I would love to. Guys, email us.
Everyone likes the guest episodes more, by the way. They don't just like hearing us talk. How dare they?
Yeah, I know, right? It's like hurting my feelings.
The dynamic duo? How are we not enough?
God. Well, guys. Oh, well. We'll deal with that. But no, yeah, we need to think it through. Maybe like have a form, similar thing.
Yeah, just ask, just submit a form. Just say, questions. What do you want to know?
Yeah. But let's see. What do we have so far?
Top feedback on the form, by the way, was we asked, we're trying to find out some of the topics. Seems this audience is very interested. Almost every single person says the topic they're interested in is application architecture.
Yes.
Followed by design pattern second. Followed by like a few like iOS APIs and programming languages.
And I'm so glad that that's the order because those are the two topics we love.
Works out. Yeah. That's exactly. So yeah, our audience clearly, they're very smart people, clearly.
Yeah, of course. Another good topic. Yeah, that's where they come, right? Smart people. Oh, boy. Wait, I can't find anything. What is it? Guests are interesting. First episode. Keep doing the good work. No. Oh, yeah. Well, someone's asking to make it more interactive.
Well, here you go.
Two, three questions. Oh, yeah, guys. We're going to make it more interactive.
Tweet us. Yeah. Add inside iOS dev. Message us if you don't want to tweet.
Transcript. Ooh, that's something we've been putting off.
Cost money. Donate to us. We get no.
We don't get paid, guys.
We don't get paid.
Just nothing.
We've done no advertising. Well, other than like your book, but like formal advertising with like a, you know.
Yeah, our guests with books, we don't get anything from them. They're just our guests. We have a conversation.
Have it's great to talk to these people. It's great to, have a conversation.
But yeah,
but no money. Donate. We got that donate button on insideiosdev.com, right? You set it up?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah. I don't think we've received a single dollar.
I think someone tried to pay us once.
Really?
And it didn't go through.
Oh, shh.
Like, something happened there with Stripe, and I know. Sad. But
we need to set something up. We don't really ask for money either, so people probably don't know. Because the button is, like, on the website, and everyone probably just opens this in some podcast app.
But guys, we wouldn't mind.
No, it'd be nice. It would be great to just cover the... It'd be great if I could stop editing these.
That right, yeah.
And just have someone properly edit them, and then also properly do a transcript. To pay for that, because that is takes time.
Because I actually tried at some point. I got this IBM or Microsoft thing that does the
transcript.
Feed it audio and does the transcript automatically. It was so bad.
Yeah,
it's like so bad. Rather not have it.
Right. Okay. It's that bad. Wow. Yeah.
Well, I know I have an accent and everything, but I mean, I was actually butchering your words more.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I feel like I speak fairly clearly, but I guess not.
But yeah, I mean, we actually don't have any questions as far as I can see here.
No one's interested.
Yeah, they're like people, you know, suggesting things, but not questions.
Yeah. What else did we learn from the feedback? People like the guest episodes. They want to talk architecture, design patterns. I think some of the feedback we got was like, oh, we like the more advanced topics that we touch on.
Yes.
Which is something we wanted to target. We wanted to target like mid-level developers to more senior developers because there's plenty of beginner.
Yeah, too
Here's
much
your table
in my
view.
Opinion. Yeah.
This is called a table view. You get your data source. We didn't want to be another one of those.
Mm-mm.
They're at the bottom.
Yeah.
Keep scrolling. Nothing. No love. No questions.
Well, like there is love, but no questions.
Oh, there is love. Thank you for the love.
Yeah. Thanks,
I wasn't
guys.
Expecting that much love, to
Actually,
be honest.
Actually, honestly, yeah, I was very flattered.
Yeah.
It's like, man.
Oh, yeah. No, by the way. Sorry, I cut you off.
Yeah, go ahead.
But by the way, thanks for the love. It helps, seriously, when people email us and they're like, oh, you helped me so much, blah, blah, blah. It really
is. Oh, yeah, right. And guys, speaking of, thank you for reminding. We do read all of them.
Yeah.
Like, we do actually, like, I sometimes don't have time to respond.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Like, and especially the big ones, not in a sense that I don't like the very, you know,
the messages they sent.
Thorough messages, if you will, right? Like the big messages. I appreciate it. I love it. It's just I want to respond to like a lot of things there, like touch every point back, and it freaking takes time, and I don't always have it.
Yeah.
But we'll get to it eventually.
Yeah.
So yeah, just know we read them all.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. It's helps a lot. Keeps us going. It's good to know people actually enjoy this and that we are helping them or helping y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, no questions. I checked.
Wow.
Okay.
So Alex, I'll just interview you. So Alex,
go for it.
Where do you see this podcast a year from now?
Ooh, that's a great question. I would like to see it with a video format too, right? So I guess it's still a podcast. People call it podcast, but well, with what is that? Something's banging on something.
We need a better setup. I would like to have a better recording environment where we don't have random radio pop songs playing and banging noises.
Yeah.
And like phones buzzing.
The phones we can do something about now, but yes.
Okay, sorry, go ahead. So YouTube video, I think.
Yeah,
you said.
Like I would like to see video.
Yeah, we both want to make video content.
And that may be not at the podcast thing specifically, but I wanna do screencasts. And you and I have been talking about it actually,
yeah.
And we actually have done something like a, you know, a little insight for you guys. We started a screencast series, but.
Yeah, about architecture. App architecture.
Yeah, but then life happened.
Yeah, that thing called life.
And we couldn't finish it. Never even gotten to this state of being releasable. I mean, it could have, but no. We need to rethink that, because I really want to.
You want to do that?
I really want to do that, because I feel like there is a void... There's a need for that.
Oh, yeah.
In the iOS community. I mean, I know CIO guys.
They came out with a book.
They just came out with
it. Which was great. I feel like that was a long...
Yeah, it's... exactly.
Long time coming.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Dude, hold on.
Yeah, go
ahead. App architecture is my thing, and I think that's why me and you get along in terms of why we clicked at work and started getting along. Because we both like talking architecture and design patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I was only at Wanilo. It was my first year working professionally as an iOS developer. Coming in, I was like, why is everything, like, I was just knew things were
don't
wrong.
Don't hold back. Tell us.
Yeah, I'm slightly holding back. I want to curse, but... No, but like you said, like the intuition thing you were saying earlier, like my intuition was like, why is this like so difficult? And are there like these things called view controllers that are 3,000 lines long and they do everything and they're like so hard to work with? Like I was just so frustrated. And like I was like 6 months into working at Wanilo, I was like, what's wrong? Like, why are things like this?
Yeah.
I can only imagine, like, being an iOS developer, like, you have all this time suffering.
I was.
Through that.
I was.
Like, just, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this is, like, then we started experimenting with the view model thing you introduced, because you had, I think, done a little bit of work with it in the past. Mm-hmm. We started using it, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. This is so much better. It's easier to work with. Like, my mind was like basically like you like MVC, at least Apple MVC. Mm-hmm. I'd like to clarify Apple's interpretation of MVC, which is not actually original MVC. So just to be clear, we did the view model thing and it was so much easier to work with. And I'm like, yes, this is like basically at that point, I was like, I don't think I'll ever write an MVC, Apple MVC app, unless they're like little toy projects or like I'm the only one working on it. It doesn't matter, like, because they're small. But the short of it is that the view controller is the view layer, basically.
Yeah. it's.
But my frustration is that it took like so long. Like, I feel like I'm coming. Maybe I'm missing some perspective and some history because I'm coming into the scene late. But also, I felt like, why am I coming onto the scene like all these years later with not that much experience?
It's still not fixed, right?
And it's not fixed, and no one's talking about it.
Right?
It's like, God, it's like so frustrating. And then we did the view model thing, and I'm like, why is no one doing this? And why is no one talking about this more? Why is this not more standard? So from there, I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to do Apple MVC. I was like, we just do MVVM as the default.
It wasn't a MVVM by the book.
No, it was kind of our own interpretation.
Yeah.
But it was still so much better.
Yeah.
So I will say this. Let's talk MVC. Apple MVC.
Sure.
I did a lot of research on this topic.
Oh, You did. Man.
Okay. Let's get into
that
this.
Guy likes to read, okay? Like, I say I like to... No, this guy likes to read.
Okay. Yeah. Now we built it up, and I'm like, as if I know what I'm talking about, and I'm probably going to completely butcher this, but whatever. So here's what happened. MVC, Model View Controller, was started by this guy called Trygvi, like, Runesgaug, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Starts with an R. Trygvi. He started MVC. He wanted a way to... abstract the user interacting with the view and the underlying model that was behind it, right? That represented... there's the underlying model, and then the view is kind of the graphical representation of that. So he wanted to abstract that such that the user is just interacting with this view layer or this view object thing, and then behind the scenes... you have the separation of concerns such that you can get code reuse and, you know, you just don't like, let's, for example, you don't have view logic in your model or, you know, they're just not mixed up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I probably butchered that, but so that's what happened. And so in his original interpretation of it, the model and the view layer directly communicated. Now, so what happens in iOS, Apple's MVC, it's not really the traditional MVC. What happens is, basically, it's like this model view adapter where the view controller, which is supposed to be the controller of MVC, is really this intermediary between the model and the view, and things just pass through the controller, aka the view controller. So one, they already deviated, but you know, it's fine. Everyone has their own interpretations, but that was one thing that happened. So already, we're already getting off on shaky grounds because you're using a name of a concept that has already been defined and you're changing it.
Right.
But okay, one mistake. That's fine. It's a naming thing. Sometimes I think people use the wrong name and I'm like, screw it. I'm going to name it this because they shouldn't have named it that. They took the concept of that name. View models, for example, we can get to that later in terms of MVVM. So that was one thing. The other thing is view controllers. So I was reading the Martin Fowler's refactoring books.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, some Martin Fowler book, whatever. He was saying in there how I think it was the Smalltalk, like GUI guys, basically, they realized that the view and the controller were often tightly coupled. So what they just did was they just would just combine them. Hey, what does that sound like? Oh, a view controller? Huh? Is that?
Oh, wow.
Interesting. Okay, so I thought we had the separation of model, view, and controller. So, you know, code reuse, separation of concerns. But, okay, they're going to put them to, you know.
Two responsibilities in one thing. But...
I'm sure at the time they had the reasoning to do that. Like, they were like, hey, these things are so tightly coupled and, you know, it makes sense to put them together.
Right.
So, again, there's another little mistake. Something went wrong. But that one little mistake, that one little tweak by itself, you know, probably wasn't enough to make the big problems. So another thing is, part of this is that a model view controller was so it's a GUI architecture, meaning it's not like a whole app architecture.
Right.
The model of the MVC is like huge. right? You're like, so if you look at something like Viper, like Riblets, like you'll have at Uber, that I feel like is a whole app architecture because it's going from end to end. So what happens in model view controllers, a view, I know what a view is. Views are like, they're clear, right? You know what a view is. It's not, okay. Controller, a little harder to define, but it's this intermediary. Now model, there's domain models. Like, let's say you have a card game, right? And you're like, oh, I have a card and I have a board. I guess card games don't have a board, like a table or like player. Those are domain model concepts.
But but on the other side, there are states of the UI, right?
Right.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me. Yeah, I see where you're going, but so now, MVC, there's a lot in that env there that you're not talking about, and so, by the way, this is also part of the problem why people stick everything in the controller because they're like, oh, networking, that's not a model. I'm not going to make like the card game example. A card, you can model a card,
which is good, by the way. Like in Ruby on Rails, just for the context,
right?
Like people fucking stick everything in the model. Fat model.
Yeah, the fat model thing.
Different discussion though. Go ahead.
So then what happened was people stuck stuff like, oh, accessing the database, accessing the network. We're going to put that in the controller. Okay. So yet again, alone on itself. Hey, you sometimes got to cut corners, whatever. Like, I wouldn't call it cut corners, but sometimes you just make decisions. Now put all these things together. Now what's happening is the view and controller, they're squeezed together in this thing called a view controller. Okay. So now it's already blown up because view controllers do a lot.
Right.
Now also, like I was just saying, people aren't sure what to put in the controller because it's not clear. So then now you end up with more stuff in this thing called a view controller. Now it has more responsibilities. And then also now everything communicates through that view controller because again, like I said, everything, it's an intermediary. It passes through. So everything has to pass through it. So everything is passing through this one thing and it's taking on so much responsibility and it's massive, massive view controller. So that's kind of high level.
Right.
I didn't prepare for this episode like we usually do, so it's probably not the best explanation, but that's kind of high level just with some drinking going on. So that's the thing. Now people will argue, and this is where I would get frustrated. I would read on blogs and people would say, oh, people are just doing MVC wrong. Like, you're not doing MVC right.
Oh, boy. Uh-huh.
Which... partly, but it doesn't help when you're not clear. Like that's not helpful to mid and beginner developers to be like, oh, you're just doing it wrong, right? Like give clear prescriptions and like say specifically what it is. But also, it still doesn't fix the problem with the view controller being so tightly coupled with the view that it's really a view layer concept. And also, it doesn't address also the baggage of the historical baggage that I discussed of what's going on. And then also you get people saying like, well, model view controller is just like this philosophy. It's like this broad philosophy. It's just like this loose guideline, which partly I can get behind, but again, that's not helpful. Like it can be interpreted too widely. And so what happens is you get people. So I feel like there's multiple, but off the top of my head, I can think of, you get beginner kind of people who don't really know where to put things. So, of course, it goes in the view controller. And then the other part is, if you're moving fast, you just want to, like, do things quickly. Put it in the view controller. The other thing is, you have all these code samples, even from Apple themselves, putting everything in the view controller.
That's the worst. I mean, how can such a prominent company encourage that?
Right.
It's like... oh my god, yeah.
So my frustration was that model view controller had these problems that I would read online and see in the projects that I worked on that it was this massive view controller problem was the thing. But then I would go online and one, I would either see nothing or I would see people as like apologists saying like, oh, you're doing it wrong, and like just give like these like kind of vague,
right,
kind of like responses like it's not helpful. And so I would see people put things down like, oh, model MVVM, or like model view presenter, or like Viper, like, oh, it's just bike shedding about these topics, and and, you know, just stick to MVC. It's like, again, you're not helping. And I think all those architectures, they all have their place. And you know what? Programming evolves. Things change. Just like MVC, someone came up with that because they were trying to solve a problem. Well, hey, maybe we need to move on from MVC. And again, I clarify Apple MVC, which is different than traditional or original MVC. And there's nothing wrong with that. What they're trying to do is creatively solve problems because they see these problems exist. And I actually think that's what humans do, right? We adapt, and that's part of the beauty of human intelligence, is we see problems and we creatively come up with new solutions. Now, so I think it's good that we're trying all these things. I think that people sometimes I see this Viper thing and I'm just going to shove it into my app and see how it works. Mm-hmm. And I think obviously that's like thoughtless and wrong, but hey, at least they're trying to creatively solve a problem, and I bet you they'll learn from that and they'll get better. It's worse. I think that's less worse than these like MVC apologists who like just want to stay in like their MVC land with their 5,000 line view controllers and think that's perfectly fine, or, you know, just give some like vague, like, you know, it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like lately in the past year, things have been coming, like, you know, you got Uber coming out with the Riblet thing, which I think great.
Oh yeah.
You've seen the popularization of Viper. And then you have like OpsEIO guys, mm-hmm.
Giving an overview. Matt Gallagher
coming out with this app architecture book. It's great. This is great.
That's the right direction.
Right direction. There's no one size fits all solution for all your problems.
Right.
There's different things to try and experiment with them. Don't put people down and say, "Oh, you're just bike shedding," or "Oh, you're overcomplicating it," or "Oh, you're not doing it right," and then not giving like actual.
That's what frustrates me the most. The lack of prescription, if you will, the vagueness of the answer, right? It's exactly what you said. The MVC apologists, I actually really like that term. I keep seeing people who would do that, right? Like exactly what you said. They'll say, "Oh no, you're just doing it wrong. You're not sticking to Apple's way of doing MVC or something, and that's why everything breaks apart. You should be doing that." But they never explain how. They never give you the concrete specific things. And typically, in my experience, that comes from the people who would say something along the lines of, "Oh, there's so many opinions out there and you can't really..." Like, the answer is depends, right? That's the favorite answer they give you. But that frustrates me the most, because that does not freaking help anyone.
So I 100% agree, and here's the thing. I think what that is this is an example of the curse of knowledge, where basically people who have been programming in iOS for 5, 6, 7 years, they go, "It depends." And yes, that is correct.
Yes.
It's not helping people who have a year of experience. It's way too vague. And they're lost in the forest, and they don't know what to do, and they go look online at example code, and they see Apple themselves shoving everything in the view controller. It's just like, I feel like it's just not fair to the newer people out there to say it depends. Yeah, it's correct. It's not helping them though.
Yeah, in my opinion, there is a time and place, and I would even say now actually, most of the time there is time and place to be prescriptive, say exactly what needs to be done, and then people will look at that, take that in, and decide for themselves whether that works or not, or a combination of your prescription and some other prescription might work for them. But or they just take that advice to heart, right, and just do that. But it's way better than the alternative that we have right now.
Yeah, just go along to get along. Keep you know,
keep the status quo or whatever.
Keep the status quo, basically.
Yeah, and that's sort of in a way what I'm trying to do, right? Like, maybe not just with this podcast, but in just general at work specifically, right?
Right.
But with blog posts too, and with this podcast as well. Like, I want to tell, even though, of course, that's not the ultimate holy grail of how to do that. Like, duh. I mean, no. But that is... would help you most likely.
Yeah.
Or you could use it most likely.
Or if it doesn't work out 100%. Like, if someone uses MVVM and it's not, like, the perfect fit for their app, it's not like their app's going to, like, blow up and, like, everything's going to go to crap. It just might not work that well. But I bet you they will learn and they'll get better on the next iteration.
Right.
Right. Same thing with, like, you know, anything else you want to apply.
But if you keep using, you keep doing MVC, you can keep using that approach.
That's all you know.
That's, why are you expecting different results if you keep doing the same thing?
Right.
It's like, not going to happen.
I also feel like another thing is that developers want to be, they want to come across as thoughtful, and maybe they are being thoughtful. And so what they want to do is they want to be careful and not be prescriptive and say, like, oh, you should do this, right? Because what you're doing then is you're kind of, you're making a claim.
You're avoiding responsibility.
Yeah, you're making a claim, and then you're kind of sidestepping it and being like, and not taking on the responsibility of standing behind the consequences of that claim. So I think part of it is like, they don't want to stick their neck out there because there's consequences. Because if they're wrong, you know, it's painful to be told, "Hey, I'm wrong."
Right,
you know, it's not good to. Typically, people want to be right. You know, it feels good to be right. Mm-hmm. You know, I think so. What happens is that people hide behind this like sort of being vague and saying, not wanting to be prescriptive and kind of sticking their neck out there and saying, like, you know what? I think MVVM would be great for your app because, you know, what they could instead do is say, well, you know, it depends. You know, you got to look, see what's out there. And then the person walks away going like, okay.
That didn't help, yeah.
I'm not sure what to do. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's, I don't know, that frustrates me a lot. That is
probably one of my bigger frustrations. And actually, I guess we talked about why we wanted to start a podcast. That was probably one of the bigger frustrations also of why I wanted to start the podcast. Because I was like, oh, I'll put my neck out there.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, if I'm proven wrong, like, I'll be proven wrong and I'll learn.
We've had the same exact conversation. It's like, you put your neck out there and either you're right, which, you know, it's nice to, it feels nice to be right, and like someone sees you as an expert or whatever, that's nice, it's flattering. But if you're wrong, well, people tell you and then you learn, right? So there's really no losing, right? So, and like, we've had people actually like say stuff or like, you know, mention things and we're like, oh crap, and then I learned, right? And then I wouldn't have known otherwise. So
exactly,
there's really no losing other than losing a little bit of your ego or your pride, which, hey, that you just got to put that to the side, because I'd rather get better.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But kind of getting back to the community and architectures. So this is, I given all of that, right, I like where it's going, but I wish it would go even further in the direction of, let's try different architectures. Let's figure it out. Let's mix them up, I don't know, like, but be more prescriptive and try freaking not MVC, right?
Right.
Oh, shoot, now I forget what I was going to say.
You want me to jump in for a little bit while you try to
Please
remember?
Please do.
I'm talking architecture, so I could just keep going. Yeah, like, but, you know, MVC is like, if you do MVC, that could be the right decision.
Ooh.
There's nothing...
I remember now.
Go ahead.
Thank you for the filler.
Yeah.
So, again, I like where it's going. I wish we'll have more of that. But also also frustrates me, that's the right choice of words. A lot of these architectures that, and design patterns that you and I, you know, advocate and even prescribe, right? We didn't just like heard about it or it came up from, or we came up with that. We read them in books yet again, right? Back to that.
Actually, that's a great point.
And what frustrates me is a lot of those seemingly quote-unquote new things coming out
are the goddamn old things
yes. that were in the books exactly. already, like yes. 20 years ago yes, sometimes.
Yes.
And I don't know, specifically the other ones, thank God, and not in the iOS community, but man, it freaking kills me. Like Redoxes and Reacts and all of those JavaScript thingies these days.
Oh, here he goes.
Okay, I'm not gonna bash on JavaScript bashing. in this episode.
I'm just kidding.
But the Redux thing, right? Like this, the React that's a reactive architecture of like a global storage reactive architecture that's been already solved and written about,
right?
In many books before, it just had a different name, or rather, it was dispersed into multiple things as far as I know, and now it's sort of like together and has this name,
right? And yeah, and also,
but it's not freaking new.
Yeah, it's not new. The broad strokes are not new. Maybe the details are different.
Could be, you know,
the details might be different, but like the broad strokes are, there's a global store and things subscribe to it, and then like there's this reactive changes.
Yeah, it's just
yeah. MVVM is not some new thing in the iOS land. It was created by Microsoft.
Exactly.
They've had that for years. ModelView Presenter has been around forever.
For a long time, yeah.
Long time. Viper, I feel like, is new, but the concepts, it's an application of concepts that have, application of the clean architecture principles that Uncle Bob prescribed.
Developed, yeah.
But those come from his years of experience, right? So, yeah. Like, none of these are just like someone's just like slapping their keyboard and seeing what happens. Like, so even if you do experiment, quote, you know, or like, you know, they've been battle tested already.
If you
the world's not going to catch on fire if you try them. Just try them and see what happens. You'll learn.
Sort of the way I look at it, there are people, there were and there are people out there smarter than me. I don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Yep.
Just read the darn stuff that they wrote and freaking learn from that. Oh, rather, first, use that. Because chances are it's actually already proven and good and will help you, or freaking learn from that at least. And that frustrates me a lot that people, that I don't see people do that in our community.
Right.
I mean, I understand those books are not written for, you know, with Objective-C or Swift examples, but for God's sake, be a little bit of a polyglot. It's same abstractions anyway.
Right.
It's like, just like you were reading that Putter book, which is Ruby, right? Like, doesn't freaking matter.
Dude, that book is one of the most influential books on my thinking day to day as an object oriented programmer.
Yeah, guys.
Seriously.
Like, read that one.
And
please.
It's Ruby. It's Ruby. It's not Objective-C or Swift.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of another. Back to the where I see this podcast, right, going. Well, I think about it, I wish we would do more of that. I don't know, maybe bring interesting books up more that we think people should read.
Yeah, we've done that a few times, but definitely we can do that more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
Another thing, so you were saying about reinventing the wheel and people, you know, coming across things and thinking they're just like these new things. So I felt about protocol-oriented programming in Swift.
Oh my fucking God. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, please.
When this came out, I was like,
are you kidding me?
God.
It's like,
and then they have like this branding around it, and there's like all these blog posts, which, you know, I guess it's nice, but just like the fact that like everyone's acting like this new thing, it's like, oh, you're just programming to interfaces,
yeah,
like, that's like
been around.
That's like, yeah, and that's like really like well recommended by tons of people. Use immutable, so prefer structs over classes, and basically means use immutable
objects
or data structures. Or mm-hmm. I guess, yeah. That's not
that's
new.
That new.
That's not new.
That's like functional programming 101.
Yeah.
And by the way, guys, functional programming doesn't mean you don't do OOP or vice versa. You can use both, all of them together, the best shit at the same time.
Right.
Read the Clean Architecture book. Uncle Bob
Oh, that's another,
you know, explains it way freaking better.
Right.
Well, obviously.
But. Right.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. That's another, yeah. It's, but again, like, that was part of my frustration of, like, starting the podcast. This is another example of, like, I would see this, like, protocol-oriented programming, and everyone's, like, acting like
it's a new thing. Yeah, and like, Apple came up with it.
Yeah,
brilliant,
like,
Apple
invented it. And I'm, no? Like, I'm just sitting here, like, this is not,
I know,
new. What's going on here? So, and yeah, I think the podcast is, we want it to be honest, right? And like, mm-hmm. be like, sometimes that means like stating uncomfortable opinions, or like maybe asking things that are uncomfortable because, you know, you're not supposed to ask or stating things. But, you know, we're not trying to be rude. Yeah, I don't want to be rude.
We just want to poke a little to get the truth.
Yeah, we're just trying to, you know, find out what the truth is and really learn and have other people learn. So that's why with things like, you see things like protocol-oriented programming, and I'm like, I see all these blogs, and they're all part of, like, the jumping on the bandwagon, like, this is some mm-hmm, new thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why are there no blogs saying, like, this is old, this is just a rehash of old stuff, and, you know, calm down, do it, actually, because I think it's good.
Yeah, it's good. But like, we're not discouraging
Apple it. Didn't invent this.
Yeah.
Like, why does no one say that? And I think partially it's because, you know, it's uncomfortable maybe to say that.
Maybe it's boring, too. You want to be celebrating with everyone else, I guess.
Yeah. So.
You don't want to be that old schmuck who says, you kids don't know. But and I realize that's how I sound now, and probably both of us, right?
Yeah, me. I sound super old with my 2 years of programming experience. But you know, I was going to say something and I forgot.
Well, I'll fill in for you now. Yeah. I think that's probably partially it, right? Like, you just don't want to be that guy who says, oh no, guys, we've seen it all, and you kids don't understand, and you should write in stuff in C. Come on, it was a perfectly good language. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, yeah, that's a certain kind of old timer. I don't think all old timers are like that, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the old timer who just like kind of never
set in their own ways.
Yeah,
kind of,
never. I mean, C is great for certain tasks, right? And Swift's great for certain tasks. Or you might use, I don't know, what other language? Smalltalk.
Yes. Kotlin, man, that's the hot shit.
Or
man.
Haskell, like
Haskell.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
I don't know,
yeah, right,
some
right.
Like super, you know, super paradigmatic, like a. One, you know, kind of mm-hmm, way of thinking, mm-hmm. like small talk is pure object oriented.
Right,
and you have
right,
Haskell,
right,
which
right.
is like, you know, pure functional. I think pretty pure functional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, guys, that's kind of what we're advocating. You know, educate yourself, read the books. Right. Don't paralyze yourself by like not doing anything before you read them. Of course not. That's another extreme.
Oh, don't, yeah. And also don't paralyze yourself after reading them and feeling like there's so much things to know and do and just not do anything.
Right.
Just bite off a little chunk and be like, okay, I'm going to try this one concept. You don't have to read a book and do like read it. For example, I read that Art of Unit Testing book and then I was like.
Right. We got to talk about, we have that in the backlog.
Yeah, we're going to read that. We're going to do a podcast on that. But then I was like, I'm going to do unit tests. And I didn't know 100% how to do it, but I just started it and. Now we have, how many unit tests at Reddit?
Yeah,
I don't know.
You've been telling me.
We went from zero to like hundreds, basically.
Spearheading that, huh?
Yeah.
That's good.
So, you know, I'm pretty sure my unit tests are not like perfect, but they're stable and they're working and they've mm-hmm. got a few breaking changes. So
nice.
That's nice. And
nice.
The more that are added, the more comfortable I feel changing things, which is nice.
Funny you mentioned that. That's what I'm doing these days at Uber, actually. I'm mostly, even though I kind of work on features still, but now we're like big and focusing on unit testing and quality.
Testing.
Yeah, and I've been writing more of that. Thank God. Yeah, it's kind of same thing. I found a few bugs that we didn't even know were sitting there because I would like start to. Before I change stuff, I'll write unit tests to like understand how the darn thing works. Because some code is that way, now there. Like, I don't get what it's supposed to do. So I start poking with unit tests. Oh, like, what if I give you an empty array? What happens? Like, what would you spit out back?
Right.
And then it blows up with a runtime exception of some array index something.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever gave that thing an empty array before.
Mm.
And, well, that was a potential bug down the road, right?
Right.
But then, yeah, but then I wrote a bunch more tests with different data, and I finally figured out what the hell that thing does, and then I refactored. So, you know. It would have been way better if the first tests were first, but...
Right. I'm kind of want to... Sorry, I just had a thought pop up,
and
I kind of want to jump back a little bit to what we were talking about poking. Sometimes we like to poke and maybe ask questions that are somewhat uncomfortable.
I hope our guests don't get offended.
No, I don't think so. I hope not, and I don't think so. We let them know ahead of time.
Yeah.
But I feel like we do that with each other. Like, oh, you and your JavaScript hate.
Oh, boy.
I actually never used JavaScript, so I don't, you know, I don't 100% believe you.
I know that you can be... blessed.
I know that you can get in your...
You're unspoiled. You haven't seen the atrocities of this world.
So, which is why I wanted to invite Julian, which was...
Oh, yeah.
I think the name of that was called, like, JavaScript Battle or something.
Languages Battle.
Yeah, JavaScript Language Battle. Something like Programming Language Battle, where Julian came on, who is a... I wouldn't say he's, like, a lover of JavaScript, but he's, like, a supporter of it. Sympathizer. He's a supporter of it. It's not like his language of choice, but he's like, oh, I think it's good for these reasons, and he gave arguments, and I thought that was interesting. And
you know,
it was, I guess it's not that uncomfortable because we're friends and we know Julian. Mm-hmm. But I know y'all personally had uncomfortable conversations. They just weren't on the podcast recorded.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh man.
I
think. We should be able to have uncomfortable conversations and, like, not be at each other's throats, mm-hmm. because the goal is to get better and improve. And if I'm proven wrong, great. I want to be proven wrong so I can learn. And if I'm right, well, then suck it. No, if I'm right, then, you know, then the other person learns or whatever. We're just learning together. So, well, yeah.
And, you know, if you're right, then... You get to explain it, and
when you explain, you freaking learn more. Clarify
for yourself.
You clarify for yourself, because then you find out the shadows of your knowledge.
That's the beauty of teaching, or at least certain kind of teaching, right? Where you don't repeat the same thing again, but sort of teach what you, I want to say, learn recently or something.
Mm.
That way you reinforce that
even
more, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah, oh man, JavaScript, don't get, no.
I'm not going to get you started.
No, please don't. I'll need a lot of whiskey.
This episode's already going on long enough. I don't want it to go another hour if I bring up JavaScript more.
Wait, where were we?
I don't know. I feel like we should wrap up. This episode's probably like an hour and a half now.
Good. I mean, we got it all out of our system. Then we have another season.
No. You didn't get it out of your system. We didn't talk about JavaScript.
Ah! All right, guys, so that's coming
at some
point.
Yeah, when you see a five-hour episode uploaded, that's when you know the JavaScript episode finally dropped, that Alex finally let it all out.
Beware. Yep. Beware. You know what? Now I'm thinking, we probably need to have another episode like that, maybe have Julian, right?
Right.
But we also should have... our friend Art
from
a few episodes back.
Right.
Because there was recently some development there where he...
Art, you mean?
Yeah. Where he read Clean Architecture and
right.
he changed his opinion in regards of JavaScript.
Oh, interesting.
And he is... I don't want to put words in his mouth, but... As far as I can tell, he's now says, no, screw that. TypeScript is better. Because sanity. So I think a more interesting conversation could be get both of them and have two-on-two fight, you know, the JavaScript camp and anti-JavaScript camp.
So you'd have Alex is like the most extreme anti-JavaScript JavaScript anti-crusader, and then you'd have Julian, the pro JavaScript guy, and then we'd have the kind of the guy who's vacillated between the two, and
sort
then,
of, yeah.
And then you'd have me as like the
arbiter,
the just like kind of neutral, doesn't really know, just kind of there to poke, ask questions.
See?
You know,
sounds interesting.
We'll see what comes out of that.
But yeah,
we should wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up.
No one's listening to this at this point.
We ran out of beer too, so meh.
All right,
guys. It was fun.
If you listened
to this
whole thing.
Hope it was fun for you.
If
oh,
you
yeah.
High
five.
Whole thing.
High freaking five.
This was mostly for us. Just to have just a conversation.
Yep.
But this is a celebration. We had some beers of our 1 year. I don't think it's been exactly 1 year, but it's been around
it's
1 year
that,
of our podcast. So thanks for listening. You are a super fan. Actually, contact us. Let us know what you thought of the episode if you listened to this whole thing.
Email us.
We'll be very impressed.
But yeah, and we'll see you next time with the regular program.
Yeah, guys. Feedback, please. It really helps us. We want to get better.
Yep.
All right.
All right, bye.
Bye.